This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great, very, very fast-moving show planned for you today. During the first half hour, Dr. Mark Thomas will be on. We're going to talk about the evolutionary selection pressures that have led us, some of us, to be able to tolerate lactose. It is thought that that was driven by calcium absorption. That may not be the case. We're going to get into that during the first half hour. And then during the second half hour, Dr. William Harris is going to join us to talk about a recently published paper that shows that fish oil may actually be protective of brain cells. So that's a little bit later in the show. Dr. Mark Thomas, how are you? Welcome, sir.
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you very much.
And you are a professor of evolutionary genetics at the University College of London, correct?
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
So you recently published a paper in the Molecular Biology of Evolution journal, correct?
Molecular Biology and Evolution, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah. And you're looking at whether or not the driving factor for lactose persistence in humans today, and especially in Europeans, was driven by the assimilation of calcium, correct?
Yeah, well, it's lactase persistence.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Lactase is the enzyme that digests lactose. Yeah,
right. Sorry about that.
And so, I mix them up myself frequently, yeah. And I've been working on it for many years.
Well, you know, and this is a really good discussion. I'll tell you why, because there's lots of people within the ancestral health movement and the paleo diet movement that are very staunch about, you know, look, dairy should be eliminated. Our paleo ancestors didn't eat it. We shouldn't eat it. But I don't think you have to go back that far. If you look at some of our Neolithic ancestors, you find out that we did, in fact, work very well with dairy, milk. And so this discussion that you're presenting here, it kind of also speaks to the fact that not all of us are created equal. Some of us can tolerate dairy.
Well, okay, so if going on to the Paleolithic diet, to be fair to them, Paleolithic means pre-Neolithic, so it's before farming. And so they're referring to the kind of diet that we would have ate before the invention of farming. And in fact, it's often seen as the invention of farming, while it, of course, allowed populations to grow spectacularly, the diet wasn't so good. And so that's often where, you know, they would cite that as where the problems began, if you like.
Right. Now the fact that lactase persistence exists today tells us that we somehow selected for it. It was an advantage, wasn't it, to be able to consume milk?
It was an advantage. It was an enormous advantage. I mean, the fact that it exists today doesn't in itself tell us it's an advantage, but there are other things that tell us that. So, for example, we can look at the patterns of variation in genes, and we can tell from that it's not an accident that it is so common today, that it actually took strong natural selection. I mean, ridiculously strong natural selection. So it's one of the most strongly selected traits that's evolved in some human populations in the last 10,000 years.
Describe the study. So you looked at a small group of individuals from, I want to say, Iberia. Is that correct?
Yeah, from Iberia, from Spain. Yeah. Now, I mean, there's actually been a lot of research on lactase persistence, many scientific studies on it, and it's a big area. It's a particularly interesting area from an evolutionary point of view. Our paper adds another piece to the jigsaw, and I should point out it's Odny Sverrisdottir is the main author on this paper. I helped her with some of the analysis.
Right.
But it's so what we were particularly interested in is, we know it was selected very strongly. We know it gave our ancestors a big advantage. But the problem is, we don't really know what that advantage was. It's easy to come up with various different ideas. And one of the most prevalent ideas over the last 30 years has been something called the calcium assimilation hypothesis. And the way this goes is like this. In populations that live in Northern Europe, when they started farming, they will have consumed less vitamin D-rich foods.
Right.
So vitamin D things are rich foods, include things like fish and so on. So because they would have been consuming less vitamin D-rich foods, they would have had problems getting enough vitamin D to absorb enough calcium to make healthy bones. Because without vitamin D, it's very difficult to absorb calcium.
And is it assumed that because they're in the northern area that sunlight is not as abundant there?
Precisely. There are two ways of getting vitamin D. Most people in the world get most of their vitamin D not from the diet, but because sunlight turns a form of cholesterol into a form of vitamin D in the skin. But that requires quite strong sunlight. And the sunlight that people get in Northern Europe for most of the year is just not enough to make decent amounts of vitamin D. And so the argument goes, these guys, they're not able to make it in their skin in sufficient quantities, and because they've switched to farming, they're also not able to get it from dietary sources like fish and so on in sufficient quantities. So they would have had problems getting enough vitamin D and therefore absorbing enough calcium, and that would have made their bones weak and so on.
So when you looked at this particular group, the assumption would have been that because of the area that they lived, that they would have had a tendency to develop maybe osteoporosis. Is that right?
Well, yeah, and rickets. And it's not so much. Well, osteoporosis can be is more associated with later life, but yeah, with rickets and other diseases, bone diseases associated with poor calcium status.
So, what did you find out?
Well, I mean, this has been an argument that's been floating around for a number of years. Now, we have to remember an important point here, is that that argument only applies to Northern Europe. But it just so happens that Northern Europe is the place where lactase persistence, the ability to digest milk as an adult, is at its highest frequency.
Uh-huh.
So it's especially common in southern Scandinavia and in Ireland, but it's also very common in British Isles. And as you go in Europe, as you go south and east, so then the frequency goes down and down and down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the argument goes, okay, these guys, these early farmers, they're not getting good vitamin D from their sunlight, they're not getting it from their diet, so what are they going to do? Well, if they can consume milk, milk is actually not a very good source of vitamin D.
No.
It's got some vitamin D in it, but it's an outstanding source of calcium. And so the argument goes, if these guys could consume more milk, that would have made up for the fact that they're not getting enough vitamin D and calcium in their diet or from sunlight.
Right.
And so this is one of the arguments for why it was such an advantage to be able to drink milk as an adult. Now, there are problems with that idea. So one is, well, you don't have to drink fresh milk to get its nutritional benefits. You could always drink fermented milk products like yogurt,
right,
butterfat, or cheese. And the fermentation removes some or most or all of the lactose.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're at a party and somebody says, oh, I can't eat that cheese, I'm lactose intolerant, but probably best just tell them to shut up because they obviously don't know what they're talking about. Because in most hard cheeses, there's very little lactose left at all.
Right.
So people, those early farmers, they could milk an animal and they could just ferment it and reduce the lactose. Then they could consume it quite comfortably, even if they're not producing the enzyme lactase. But anyway, this argument is still persisted, and it's very popular, particularly amongst medics. It's very popular as an explanation for why lactase persistence evolved in Europe, and especially in Northern Europe. But we must also remember that lactase persistence is very common in a number of African and Middle Eastern
right.
populations, and also in populations from Southern Asia. So in those cases, it's absolutely ridiculous to suggest that absorbing calcium is why they evolved lactase.
And you know, and I know this is going to, and we have to go into a break, And I know that I am not an analytical type individual within the scientific community, but to me, it doesn't even beg all the sophisticated questioning. I mean, we had to survive. We had to find alternative foods, depending on what our environment presented us with. Milk, in my humble opinion, is the only thing made in nature designed to be a food. And on top of that, if you have a cow and you slaughter it and you eat the meat, you need to raise another cow. But if you have a cow and you milk it and you drink the milk, like the Maasai, they drink the blood, you could just go on and on feeding from
that cow.
There are
actually studies on this that show that a cow produces more calories and more protein if you just use it for milking than if you let it grow for a few years then slaughter it for meat.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So that's one obvious big advantage.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's take one quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to find out what you actually learned in this research. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoForce is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoForce and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoForce banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 5-pound jug of Pure Whey Isolate for $50 and free shipping. It's the lowest price you'll find anywhere guaranteed. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SHR today. Limit one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Mark Thomas. We're talking about lactase persistence in the evolutionary scope of our being. What advantage, is it really the reason why, is calcium assimilation really the reason why there was this advantage to drinking milk. So what did you find out? Was the calcium theory the reason for lactase persistence? Calcium assimilation hypothesis, I'm sorry.
Well, what we did was we looked at this trait, the genetics of this trait, in people that lived in Spain 7,000 or so years ago and then today. And we saw that the frequency of this genetic trait had changed really dramatically. And then we can use genetic methods to see how much selection was required. And it required a lot of natural selection. Now, it's quite clear that in Spain, people can make vitamin D from the action of sunlight on the skin.
Right.
So there, at least, it cannot be the case that they evolved lactase persistence so that they could absorb more calcium. There must have been other reasons. That doesn't mean that the whole idea of absorbing calcium is thrown out. You know, we're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right. It's obviously an advantage. Right.
Well, it could have had an advantage. We still don't know, but it could have had an advantage, particularly in Northern Europe, because Northern Europe is where the problem would be if it was going to be anywhere. And it's the place where lactase persistence is found at highest frequency. But there is some evidence that the reason it's common in Northern Europe is not because there was more selection in Northern Europe, but rather because this lactase persistence gene, if you like, swept, if you like, it surfed on a wave of advance in farmers, mm-hmm. and it got thrown to high frequency in Northern Europe.
You know, you mentioned in the summary of the paper that there was some evidence that milk may have protected against things like malaria. I've even heard in the United States during the tuberculosis epidemic, it was thought that milk carried the tuberculosis and caused the transference of tuberculosis. But later on, in a great book called The Untold Story of Milk by Dr. Schmidt, I can't think of his first name right now, Ron Schmidt, he talked about the fact that it was pasteurized milk that was carrying the pathogen, and that the raw unpasteurized milk seemed to sequester it. And that has been proven out more recently in breast milk in mothers who have AIDS, not transferring the AIDS to their babies because of a biofilm that's produced in the milk that sequesters the virus. Milk is very intelligent. I mean, it's part of the reason we've survived. Let's put it that way. But anyway, evidence that people used it as a medicinal, like, well, you know, if you drink milk, you're going to stay healthy?
Well, you know, the lines between healthy food and medicinal food are blurred, of course. I mean, if you're eating healthy food, you're effectively eating medicinal food,
right?
Because it's making you healthy.
Right.
So I think we can go back to a comment you made earlier. You said that milk is the only food that's evolved to be eaten. That's not actually quite true, but it's almost true. Because, of course, plants produce fruits that are specifically nice looking and tasty to be eaten.
I have to respectfully submit something. Plants that are tasty and designed to be eaten, especially fruits, do so in an effort to pollinate and spread their every species has one goal on this planet, and that is to continue the species. However, we have to do it by trick or by trade. And so, but there are other plants, like soy, for instance, that have anti-nutrients in them, which are called phytoestrogens, and we embrace them here in the United States. Oh, eat lots of soy, that the estrogen is good for you. But in reality, I went to a lecture one time that said the phytoestrogen in soy was designed to protect the soy because if animals ate a lot of soy, their mating went down, their offspring went down, and they basically evacuated the earth because they ate the soy. So it was protecting itself. So this notion that plants are here for us to eat, there's a little bit of a gray area of whether that's factual.
No. So plants themselves do not want to be eaten.
Okay.
But fruiting bodies have evolved in many cases because they aid in the spread of seeds.
Yes, yes, I agree.
And have evolved to be eaten. However, evolving to be tasty and to be eaten is not the same as evolving to produce nutritious food.
Gotcha.
Milk is the only example of a food that is specifically evolved to be nutritious.
Mm-hmm.
That's a difference. there are many things that look tasty but aren't particularly nutritious.
Yeah, that's true.
Or are tasty but aren't particularly nutritious.
What about this notion that the upper class drank milk and it was a sign of posterity or prosperity? Prosperity.
I mean, a sign of status, yeah. So this is a common idea that's bandied around amongst archaeologists. I must confess, I've never really fully understood how that explains lactase persistence.
Yeah.
But I certainly think it's true that keeping dairy in animals would be a sign of status. I mean, it's a clear sign of status in many African populations today. The more dairyable animals you've got, the higher status you have, and in many cases, the more wives you're able to have as well. Mm. And that's clearly of reproductive benefit.
Interesting. So what would you say to this, the anti-dairy movement out there? Dairy, I mean, you know, Dr. Cordain is a wonderful guy. He's been on my show numerous times. He's brilliant. But one of the areas that he and I just don't agree is I'm a huge proponent of the seasonal consumption of raw unpasteurized dairy. I've been doing it for over a decade now. I even get raw colostrum from time to time and consume that. And I have plenty of raw butter in my freezer right now. And so he and I talk about this. He says, you know, the galactose is bad for you. It causes cataracts. We were never designed to drink milk. Isn't a broad statement like that just wrong? Some of us are capable of drinking milk.
Yeah, it's just wrong. I mean, I know Lauren well, and I admire a lot of his work, but I just think he's wrong on this one. Firstly, it gave us an advantage.
Yeah.
How does that square with we're not supposed to drink it? Secondly, we weren't designed anyway, right? We evolved. So if we evolved, we evolved to do the things that promoted our survival and reproductive output to the greatest extent. Quite clearly, we have evolved to, or many people in the world have evolved to consume fresh milk as an adult. It's clearly important. There are many aspects. I mean, milk is one of the most nutrient-dense foods there is. It's got an amazing spectrum of different nutrients in it, from minerals. The protein in it is of the absolute highest quality. I mean, it's got most of the amino acids in milk protein are, you know, essential amino acids, so they're the ones that we need.
There are hormones in milk. There's even non-protein nitrogen, which are actually already unbound free-form amino acids in milk, ready to go right through the lining of the stomach and get to work.
Absolutely right, yeah.
I mean, it's got lactoferrin in it, which is a very, very bioavailable form of iron.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, when you look at it, and that's why I say that while there are other things that are qualified as food, there is only one thing that was created just to be eaten by us, and that was our mother's milk, and obviously the extension of that would be milk in general. Bovine milk has different ratios of whey to casein, but
it's not much. It's not,
no,
it doesn't, it's not
right.
Very different, really.
No, it isn't, and you know what? And that's why I say everybody's out there banging milk. I got a guy who just sent me a book, Death by Calcium, and he's got a bottle of milk on the cover. I can't have him on the show in good conscience because I'm never going to say that milk is bad for people. Now, maybe taking an isolated mineral in abundance like calcium could have some purported dangers if it's not in the right ratios of K2 and D and A and all these other things. But milk is not bad for you. Milk is not.
Taking any particular nutrient in isolation and out of sync to the, you know, the proportions you would get in an ancestral diet is going to be a bad idea. But here's a funny thing. So I've done some. See, one of my problems with the whole Paleolithic diet world is fundamentally it's a good idea. Fundamentally, our metabolism should be optimized primarily for the diet that we've had over our longest period of evolutionary history. And that would be a Paleolithic diet, so that is fair and correct. However, if you look at the actual papers on this, they are very, very unquantitative. It's much more arm-waving and very little actual calculation, actual measurements of quantities of nutrients in there. If they were to sit down and calculate the distribution of nutrients in a Paleolithic diet, and then look at the distribution of nutrients in milk, they are not that spectacularly different.
Milk is paleo. What do you think about it? I mean, look
that
at
that. That will really annoy them. But part of the reason they haven't spotted this is because they're not very quantitative. They're just waving their arms around. Admittedly, a good idea in principle, but I would like to see a little bit more robust scientific input into that.
Some of the longest lived populations are lacto-vegans. They get all of, I mean, the Hunza, lacto-vegans. I mean, you look at some of these individuals, they're lacto-vegans. And clearly that shows that milk does not shorten the life or promote disease like the China study tried to promote it. I mean, it's just nonsense. Listen. Yeah.
You know as well as I do that, if you look at the scientific literature, studies on nutrition and health, you will see one that supports one view, then another paper that supports a completely opposite view. And of course, the reasons for this is because A, some of these studies are very underpowered, and B, they're not really looking at the big picture anyway. They're just looking at things in isolation.
Right.
And looking at nutrition in nutrients in isolation, it can be very problematic.
Yes.
I mean, there are always complicating factors. There are always, for example, other aspects of lifestyle that go along with certain diets.
Right.
And so those lifestyle aspects might explain some dietary effect. I mean, no doubt diet is important in health. It should be obvious that that's going to be the case. But it is a very, very hard thing to get to the bottom of scientifically.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we have to always be careful. Somebody publishes a new scientific study and says, we show this. Great, you've shown that in those circumstances.
Right.
But, you know, we've got to get a big picture on these things, and that requires a little bit more integration of different ideas, a little bit more being quantitative. I mean, I have the greatest amount of respect for both the epidemiologists, the people that look at big numbers of people and do big studies, and I've got the greatest amount of respect for the biochemists, the people that look at individual nutrients. But both of them are never going to get the big picture on their own.
Right. Right. And you know what? And that's why one of the things that I started promoting on this show about 5 years ago was critical thinking. And I say to people all the time, when the science du jour contradicts what you know to be true, go with what you know to be true. You have to, because science has been wrong and it'll be wrong again. And science is it's an ever-changing, ever moving target. And so you have to always look at your ancestors. You have to look at what you know to be true, and you go with that. Make those decisions that way.
I mean, I think the thing about science is, you know, the first thing that a scientist should admit is just how much we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the good thing about science is, when we do know something, we know it with high confidence.
Yes,
so science does that very, very well. But the first thing is always to know what we don't know. And there's a lot that we don't know as of now.
Dr. Thomas.
And that will improve.
Thank you so much for taking time to be on the show today.
My pleasure.
Take care. All right, so now when we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about fish oil and its protective effect on the brain. This is going to be a really good discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
They say that tough love is sometimes the best advice. Well, he's got the toughest love.
Why you should not drink diet sodas, it's very, very simple. If you don't subscribe to the idea that they're toxic, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they cause a derangement in insulin response. If you don't subscribe to that, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they spike insulin. I mean, it's like, do whatever you want, but why do we need science to tell us to stop consuming more chemicals? Are you really that pathetically addicted to something that's not good for you? Then say it. Say, I'm addicted to these things and I can't help myself. I know they're bad for me. I'm going to keep using them, and then we don't have to do research.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum. Painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Phytoform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. To further the discussion about fish oil, we're being joined by Dr. William Harris. He's a senior scientist over at Health Diagnostic Labs. How you doing, Dr. Harris?
Very good, thank you.
Okay, so you recently published a paper that looked at red blood count, red blood cell, and EPA and DHA, the two forms of omega-3 fatty acids found in marine life and fish oil, and looked at. This is really interesting. I didn't realize until I read the study last night that this came out of the Women's Health Initiative memory study.
Yes, it did. Right.
So, talk about the design of the study first.
The study was actually, it was designed long ago, back in the 90s, and the original study was a study to compare hormone therapy, postmenopausal women getting hormone therapy to no hormone therapy, to see if it would help with cognitive function.
So did they look, did they ask women how many of them back then were taking or consuming diets high in omega-3s?
No, they really didn't, and they weren't. Their diets were not high in omega-3.
But they measured serum levels. You're saying then, right? Or no?
They just stored blood. Mm-hmm. They just stored blood back in the 90s when they started the study, stuck it in a freezer, and said, "Hopefully someday we'll do something with this." you know, and then the study goes on, and then every year or two, the women come in for cognitive function tests. Or in this particular study we're talking about today, about 8 years after the blood sample was drawn at the beginning of this this observation period. 8 years after that, they came in, or a subset of them came in and had the brain MRI scan.
Okay, and so what did you find out, and how do you attribute it to red blood cell or omega-3 fatty acids?
What we found was that the women who had, back in the mid-90s when the blood was drawn, who had a higher omega-3 levels in their red cells, we call it the omega-3 index, which is the EPA and DHA level in a red cell membrane.
Okay.
We think that we use that as a good biomarker of omega-3 status.
Sure.
The women who had the highest levels of that had the largest, 8 years later when their brain size was measured, was larger than the women who had the lowest levels of the omega-3.
Now, when you measured their brain size at this later date, did you also go back in and take more blood to see if their EPA-DHA status was still higher than the other group in the cohort?
I wish we could have, but we didn't.
That would have been interesting.
They didn't. I wasn't part of the study at that time.
Sure.
We came in afterwards. So, no, they did not have that. They did not have a brain scan back in the 90s. So we could. It would have been nice to be able to track the change in brain volume.
Yes, yes.
So it wasn't the perfect study. I wish we could have done it differently, or they could have done it differently. But,
well, and at least this opens up. But you know what this does? This opens up to, well, now we have to answer these questions to find out if this is really what's going on. So I like that.
Right.
You
know? Right. Right. And we really can't. And I really want to emphasize that we can't say that the omega-3s were causing this.
Well,
all we can say is they're associated with.
But okay. But what we do know from past shows that we've done on a variety of different topics that intersected the brain and omega-3s, like we've done shows about the evolution of human beings in the birthing process, and we know that when a mom breastfeeds, she gives up an ounce of fat a day because the omega-3s in her fat cells are liberated to get to the baby, and this is what stimulates brain growth. And we know that omega-3 fatty acids have been associated with senses of well-being, mood, and so on. So clearly, omega-3 fatty acids play a variety of pleiotropic roles in the brain. So it would be safe to say that, you know, with some confidence, that what you found was that maybe the brains were healthier in individuals who have high omega-3 fatty acids.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say. And I'm, you know, I'm as big a fan of omega-3 as anybody. I'm just very sensitive to not having people think that a study that just shows an association proves that there's a cause and effect.
Well, and I don't want to get off the topic, but I have to commend you, because something we talked about in the previous guest was that quite often scientists say things unabashedly, and then it's hard to undig your heels when 5 years later science shows something else. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate, you know, rigorous science can help us, but we have to be careful not to say that it's absolute, because there's always something new unfolding, right?
That's right. That's right. And the most clear example of that, I mean, this is going to be a large rabbit trail, we'll take, but it won't.
I know where you're going already. Go ahead.
Yeah. Prostate cancer.
Right. Right.
The one with it showing or reporting that prostate cancer was an increase with fish oil intake.
They didn't even look at fish oil intake in that study. And plus these people were self-reporting, you know, well, how much of this do you eat? And we talked about that study last year. We threw that right out. That was nonsense.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah, well, he sure got a lot of press.
Yeah, of course.
Because they didn't know the difference between an association and a cause.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
so
the problem. Back to this.
What about red blood cell? What relationship did this have to brain size in when you looked at these women?
Well, again, this is the only samples that we measured. We didn't measure serum or plasma, which is, you know, the clear part of the blood. We measured the red blood cells, which are cells, and hence the name. They have a membrane, and the membrane is where all the fats are, the omega-3s are. And that's the situation for all the other cells in the body, that the omega-3s are typically in the membrane. So we use red cells as a better marker,
I got you.
We believe.
I misunderstood.
Of omega-3 status.
I got you. So now this had the greatest effect, I guess, on the hippocampus, right?
Correct.
Tell the audience what the hippocampus provides in brain function.
It's primarily the memory center.
Mm.
That's, you know, an extreme example of it is people who have died of Alzheimer's disease or died with Alzheimer's disease. Compare their hippocampus is like 40% smaller
wow.
than people who die without Alzheimer's disease. And that's really where the shrinkage is taking place. And they know that as the hippocampus shrinks, the chances of actually developing frank dementia increase a lot. So it seems to be I must confess, I'm an omega-3 researcher. I'm not really a brain researcher.
No, I understand that.
Colleagues who do that. But that, my understanding is that that's really where the action is for developing Alzheimer's disease.
Okay.
The hippocampus.
We have to take one quick commercial break. Okay.
Sure.
When we come back, I want to talk, since you are an omega-3 researcher, I want to talk about the difference between fish oil and krill oil. Can we talk about that when we come back?
You bet.
Okay, stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
He's asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys, hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today. At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on superhumanradio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio H banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
She take my money.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us all the better, faster.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. William Harris. We're talking about omega-3's benefits to the brain. I have taken cod liver oil, Dr. Harris, for a very, very long time because of its additional A and D. And then, but I noticed that cod liver oil, as well as the regular fish oil capsules, they tend to repeat on me. I don't digest them very well. So under the advice of a good friend who lives in Munster, Germany, he's a contributor to the show, Adele Musa, I switched to krill oil. And I find it's a lot easier on the stomach. I don't get that aftertaste, that burping up of the fish oil. But it comes in much smaller doses, you know, than the big fish oil caplets. I could take maybe four of those and end up with almost 2 grams of DHA, where these, if I take three or four of them, I end up with maybe 600 or 800 milligrams of DHA. Is there any benefit, since it's not triglyceride bound? My understanding is it's not bound to triglycerides. Is there more bioavailability of the krill oil than the regular fish oil or, say, cod liver oil?
Well, part of the reason you're not getting a burp may be because there's not much omega-3 there.
Ah.
You know, that's...
Then that's not a good thing.
Well... No. Well, it's interesting. Krill oil versus fish oil is an interesting. Krill oil does have the omega-3s bound in phospholipids, as you mentioned. Most fish oils, standard, the cheaper brands of fish oil have them in triglycerides. The more concentrated forms have the omega-3s in ethyl ester form. So three different forms available. And the krill oil, they certainly make a lot of claims for being better absorbed. There are about three studies I know now that have looked at, give roughly the same dose of omega-3 from krill oil or give it from fish oil, and then measure blood omega-3 levels either a few hours or a few days or a few weeks later. And you know, I would say there actually is on the basis of a per gram of omega-3 consumed, you know, if you adjust mm-hmm. it for the fact that you're actually taking less with the krill oil, if you adjust it per milligram of omega-3 consumed, there is a higher blood level after taking the krill.
What do you use?
I'm using a triglyceride form.
Okay. Maybe I need to find, you know, I know when I take it with food, I don't burp it back up. If I take it without food, I definitely burp it back up.
Right.
So that, right. maybe that,
the I other just, thing you, I mean, the other thing you can do, I burp fish oil too, so I take it at bedtime.
Ah, okay.
And so that's, you know, it dissolves.
And I hear that's also effective keeping vampires away.
Yeah. That and the wooden cross.
So,
right?
So.
I mean, I think the point with the krill oil is, maybe it may be more readily absorbed or easily absorbed. Maybe it's twice as well absorbed. Let's say, for example, if it's twice as well absorbed, then you might be willing to pay twice as much.
Right.
Per gram. But unfortunately, it's so expensive to make, you end up paying 5-10 times as much per gram of omega-3. So that's where the disconnect comes for me.
Sure. Going back to the study, so what were the serum levels, what were the red blood index levels of omega-3s in the individuals with the higher status versus the lower status?
They had an index around 7%, and I should probably explain. So again, the omega-3 index is red blood cell EPA plus DHA as a percent of the total fatty acids in the membrane. So most Americans are in the 4-5% area.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty typical. Japanese are up around 10%, about twice as high. They eat a lot of fish.
Yeah, right.
So at the low end, the lowest, what we call quartile, lowest 25%, in this study we're around 3.5%. The upper quartile around 7-ish%. So that was the spread. And we think, actually, the target we like for the omega-3 index is around 8%. That's a value that we proposed 10 years ago now.
Now, is that I know that lots of organizations now do testing for omega-3 status, and I'm sure the lab that you work with does that, right?
Yeah, I'm associated with two different labs. I'm with Health Diagnostic Lab in Richmond, Virginia. That's a clinical laboratory, meaning that's a laboratory where doctors order the tests on their patients, and then they bill for insurance and get reimbursed, typically, for those assays. And that's where the omega-3 index is available. I also have my own small research sort of direct-to-consumer lab called OmegaQuant.
Okay.
And that Omega Quant is in South Dakota, which is where I live.
Now, so if I went to Omega Quant and I wanted to see how effective my current supplementation regimen is, what would it run me? Can I do that myself, or does my doctor have to order that?
You can do it yourself. Yeah, it's the basic omega-3, and this is a dried blood spot test.
Yeah, on a Wattman blotter, you drop a couple on a Wattman blotter.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. Right. We have special paper, but special sauce. Everybody.
There you go.
Exactly. So yeah, and that's $79.
And do you have that website by any chance?
Yeah, omegaquant.com. OMEGA, and then QUANT, like
quantity. Yeah, very good.
Omegaquant.com. Yeah.
All right. So, and have you found a rule of thumb for the general population where if you're taking say this many grams of combined DHA, EPA, and I think DHA is where the magic is, right?
Well, that's a whole other discussion. I'm not sure that's where that's certainly the largest component of the omega-3 index. It's about 80% of the omega-3 index is DHA and 20% EPA. But I'm not sure that we can say that DHA has all the benefit and EPA doesn't.
Okay.
I think they have different benefits that are trying to be sorted out.
So if you and I were on an elevator and you were getting off in three floors, and I said, well, how much omega-3 should I take, do you think, a day just to kind of get into that sweet spot? Get me on the green. What would you say to me?
I'd say a gram a day.
A gram a day combined of both.
Combined EPA plus DHA.
Okay. That's easy to do.
That'd be get me.
I think that's
pretty easy to do.
Yeah,
you can do that with food.
I mean, I know that I had Life Extension Foundation used to be a sponsor a year or so ago, and they had an omega-3 status test. And
right.
I remember doing it, and I was in a very, very high range, but I was taking like one tablespoon of cod liver oil every single day.
Yeah, that'll do it, especially if you do it for a long time.
Yeah. Now, is there a point of diminishing returns in your humble opinion? I know that too much omega-3s may not be really good. Some of it is good. It has an antithrombotic effect, blah, blah, blah. There is some evidence that maybe it affects heart rhythm issues. Is there a point where you shouldn't go up there?
I don't know that there probably is. I mean, just in principle, there's got to be a point of no diminishing returns. Whether it actually turns into adverse effects is another question. That, I think, is pretty well shown at this point not to be the case. We really haven't got a high level that is harmful.
Interesting.
Again, the Japanese, are up there around 10%. We did a study with dolphins. We wanted to see how high the omega-3 index would go in a mammal that only ate fish. And the index in a dolphin, these are from SeaWorld, were like 20%.
Wow.
That's and they're eating 60 grams a day of EPA and DHA.
That's amazing.
It goes very high. I should mention, as I was listening to some of your commercials, you were talking about colostrum.
Yes.
It reminded me, we also offer a dried breast milk spot test. An omega. You can get your omega-3 levels and your trans fat levels from a drop of breast milk.
Wow, that is so important because of brain development in babies.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's at our website, too. That's orderable from us directly.
For nursing moms. I'm going to tell my niece about that.
Nursing mom.
Yeah.
So those
women who had the that were in the highest quartile of omega-3 status, their hippocampus was how large? Was it much larger? Was it just significantly
No. Statistically significantly larger. We don't know. It was only, I think we said, 2.5 percentage points larger.
Is that really meaningful, do you think, Dr. Harris?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the neurologists who are on the paper think that's important. I think more maybe it's the directionality that's important.
Yeah,
because
it should be going down. It should be shrinking as you age. So if it's just 2% bigger, that's pretty darn good. It's at least or staying the same would even be a good thing.
Right. That's what we don't know if it's changing. Presumably, the people who had the low omega-3, it's shrinking faster.
Is there a difference?
Is
there a difference on omega-3's effects on gray matter versus white matter in the brain?
I think more studies have shown relations with the gray matter,
which is the important
the white
stuff,
matter.
Right?
Well, God knows. I mean, certainly it's important. That's the cell bodies. That's the white matter is more the trunks of the nerves. that are all organized, like, you know, telephone
yeah.
exchanges, you know.
Yeah, it's like the conduit, the conduit.
Like conduits, right, right. Yeah. That's a better word for it.
Do you think that the I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, myelin sheaths, the material.
Myelin.
That myelin, thank you. Now I have a third way to and say it incorrectly.
Screw it
myelin,
up.
the myelin affected by the omega-3, is that what it is?
It's myelin doesn't have itself much omega-3 in it. But the cells that make myelin do have omega-3 in it, and if they're not functioning, well, I mean, this is the theory anyway. If they're not functioning at top performance, if there's inflammation going on, etc., the myelin that it makes, it could be of lesser quality. But the myelin itself doesn't use the building blocks of omega-3.
Interesting. All very, very interesting discussion. So clearly, yet another good reason to make sure that you're getting some amount of omega-3 in your diet. And I have to believe that if you're eating a traditional American diet that's higher in sixes and nines and trans fats, you probably really need to pay attention to these numbers more so.
I agree.
Give that website again. So it's omegaquant.com.
Omegaquant.com. That's for a dried blood spot for omega-3 index, or for dried milk spots for the milk DHA levels.
That's an, you know what? I've never heard of that before, but that is really, I think every nursing mom should do that for sure, because obviously she could supplement with more omega-3 to get her milk omega-3s up so that baby's brain will grow properly. So,
that's right.
Very, very good discussion.
Change very quick.
Dr. Harris, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Enjoyed it. Thanks very much.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, I've got a quick announcement to make. I need your help. Next week, I'm going to ask the Superhuman Nation to help me out. We'll be right back.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
One-two punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 5-pound jug of Pure Whey Isolate for $50 and free shipping. It's the lowest price you'll find anywhere, guaranteed. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SHR today. Limit one per household.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 5-pound jug of Pure Whey Isolate for $50 and free shipping. It's the lowest price you'll find anywhere, guaranteed. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SHR today. Limit one per household.
Orbit
Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Welcome back. Okay, so recently I used some critical thinking that even shocked me.
That's right.
During a discussion in a show earlier this week, I mentioned that I find it very, very odd that the Food and Drug Administration does not require the same steps taken when advertising and promoting drugs to be used when advertising and promoting vaccines. Well, I'm going to make an attempt to have a positive effect on this population in the United States. To those of you listening from outside the country, listen anyway. But I know that you probably can't help us with this one. This is something that's going to be clearly on the shoulders of my U.S. listeners. Even those people out there who don't know anything about this show or the Superhuman Nation will benefit from our actions. Alex Leaf, as you know, is now the editor of our newsletter. Any of you who've gotten the newsletter so far know that it's amazing. Fantastic articles, breaking news. I mean, we are moving quickly to the top of the food chain with our newsletter. And with that being said, in the next newsletter, there's going to be a request for you to click a link and add your name to a petition. A very well-written petition asking the appropriate people at the FDA to protect the American public the same way they protect the American public in the advertising and promotion of drugs with the advertising and promotion of vaccines. If we can get this on, then every time a vaccine is advertised, whether it be on a cardboard table tent or sidewalk tent out in front of a Walgreens, or during the news, or on television, or in a magazine ad, they will have to list the potential negative side effects that are well known and established with those vaccines. And they're out there. There was a study just done, I believe, from Scandinavia that looked at the trivalent flu vaccine. We know about the studies that have been done in the past that have linked the trivalent flu vaccine to greater degree of respiratory illness and even death in elderly people. I want the same standards applied to drugs applied to vaccines. And you should want this too, because right now there are people out there who are confused. Should I vaccinate my child? Shouldn't I? And the reason they're confused is this. When they see an ad for a vaccine, or they see that half fake nurse standing outside of the little clinic in the grocery store going, "Hey, have you had your vaccine? Come on, let me give you one." The implications by not explaining that there are risks involved with vaccines. There's risks involved with everything. Drinking water has a risk, okay? But the fact that the FDA does not require manufacturers of vaccines to also give a fair and balanced estimation of the potential risks of vaccines, that conveys to the average, unknowing, non-superhuman person, well, then vaccines are safe. There's only good things, no bad things about them. And that's what it does. So we have a chance to change things. I would be so excited if this show went off the air at the end of the year, but during this year, we actually got the FDA to change the way vaccines are marketed and promoted. I could go away a happy person. We could actually, this audience, this small audience of how many people it is, I don't know what it is. If you look at our unique IPs, there's about 750,000 of you that download shows regularly. This small audience in the United States, we can give a gift to the rest of the Americans here. by forcing the hand of the FDA to force the hand of vaccine manufacturers to once and for all acknowledge and promote that there are negative risks associated with vaccines, not just positive. And I promise you, it's just going to take a couple minutes. If you're not already on the newsletter, please sign up for the newsletter, because those are the people who are going to know about it the fastest. And then we'll promote it through social media, and we're going to promote it and promote it and promote it and promote it and promote it until we actually get the FDA's attention. I'm asking you to help me with this, but I'm asking you to help other people too. The mother out there who's confused of whether or not she should vaccinate her child. The person out there who's thinking about getting the HPV vaccine themselves. We all deserve to be able to make decisions based on informed consent. We cannot make decisions on informed consent if we're not being completely informed. So help me out, okay? Stay tuned. I'll keep you posted on when this is going to be out there, and then I'm going to ask you to act for the radio station, for the show, for the people out there who know nothing about you and this show, and for everybody else. Okay? So stay tuned. Thanks for listening today, and we will see you tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
He's asking the right questions at the right time.
I don't care what side of this you're standing.